Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Shabbos daf Mem Dalet. We're going to pick up from daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis. Today's shir is sponsored anonymously with Zchus Refuah Shleima for Noach Ben Yuspa Devora and by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. We're going to pick up on daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis. We're going to pick up from Itmar on Mem Gimel Amud Beis about 7-8 lines before the end of the page. And the first discussion we're going to have is about moving a dead body and whether that's a violation of Tiltul Mutza. It certainly is. The question is how to best do it, whether Tiltul Min Atzad is the better option or whether Kikar Otinok is the better option, and that's going to be part of the discussion of whether Tiltul Min Atzad is something that even works to begin with. Then the Mishnah on Mem Dalet Amud Aleph is going to discuss moving a ner on Shabbos. A ner, again, is not like a wax candle. A ner is the kli that holds both the oil and the wick that you would light. The Gemara is going to have two explanations of a line that the Brice is going to have that doesn't allow moving a ka'ara that was lit. It distinguishes between a ner versus a ka'ara. So we're going to have two explanations of why it is that the Brice tells us that one is not allowed to move a ka'ara that was lit. And then the Gemara is going to discuss what about moving a metal ner. Typically, neros that we talk about are made out of cheres, like the kind you see in the shuk when you walk through, but the Gemara is going to talk about whether a metal ner is going to be different than a ner made out of cheres. And then the Gemara on the very bottom of Amud Aleph, and it's going to take up the rest of the daf, is going to talk about tiltul of a mita hamyuchedes lema'os, that if a bed is designated for use for money, are you allowed to be metaltul it based on that designation for a muktzah purpose? And the Gemara, why are we bringing that up in a sugya about ner? Because the Gemara is going to bring two rayos about tiltul of a mita miuchedes lema'os. And the first of those two rayos is going to be from the discussion of ner. The second of those two rayos is going to be from a Mishnah in Meseches Kelim. So it's going to get very involved and interesting in terms of tumah and tara status of large kelim. And it may have ramifications, halacha lemaisa, in terms of tumas kohanim. Let's see if we get there. So let's start again. Itmar on daf mem gimlam beis. Itmar. Mesa mutal b'chamah. If you have a mace that's on Shabbos out there in the sun and it's decomposing, Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, the best thing to do is, says Rav Yehuda in the name of Shmuel, hovcha mimita lemita, pick it up from the mita that it's, just lift the mita that it's on, that the mace is on, and flip the mace onto another mita, and then from there onto another mita, and that way you never handle the mace directly. It's entirely tiltul min atzad, and that's or tiltul kalachar yad, and therefore that's going to be mutter. The mita itself is lechora, one would have thought, should be a basis l'davar ha'aser, because if the mace is muktzah and the mace is on the mita, and the mace was placed there intentionally, so you would think that the mita becomes a basis l'davar ha'aser, and yet we're suggesting that no, picking up the mita is no problem. The mita itself is not muktzah. Why is it not a basis l'davar ha'aser? This is a machlokes rishonim. The Rashba writes because it's not a basis l'davar ha'aser because the mace does not really need the mita. The mace really should be munach on the karka. That's what we do when a person dies, that they're maniach on the karka. And any time you don't need the muktzah item, doesn't require the basis, it doesn't have the status of a basis. Tosos says, no, the reason it's not a basis is because the mace was not munach on the mita midas. The idea was to remove him from the mita. It's more like something that was forgotten on top of something else, and that's one of the rules of basis. Something only has the status of a basis if it was placed there intentionally. If something was just forgotten somewhere, but it was not placed there intentionally, then the item that it's on is not considered a basis. So anyway, back in the Gemara, Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel said that the best thing to do is to just flip the mace from one bed to another. But Rav Chanina Bar Shlamya Mishmei D'Rav Amar Miniach Alof Kikar Otino K'metal Talav. No, you put something else on top of the mace, a kikar, a loaf of bread, a tinok, and then you're metaltel in that way. So and that way the mace becomes like a tafel to the kikar or the tinok, and then you're metaltel the mita as on account of the kikar or tinok, like something that's a basis l'davar asur l'davar amuter, that you're allowed to move The item. The Ritva writes that it's lav dafka kikarotinok. We're just giving examples. You could place anything that's not muktza on the mace in order to move the mace. Any kli shemlachta laheter, you could put on the mace. It doesn't have to be a kikarotinok. And in fact, the Ramban writes, and this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch in Yeredeya, Simin Shin Yod Aleph, that the mace's clothing itself is it like another kli, and therefore would be enough to be matir, the tiltal of the mace. The clothing itself is a kli that is just as good as a kikarotinok. However, the Mordechai writes that it's dafka kikarotinok and not kelim, because the halacha is like Rabbi Yitzchak that you're not allowed to move a kli litzorech davra muktza. So kikarotinok you're allowed to move even shalol litzorech klal, so you're allowed to move it to put it on a mace as well. But to move a kli just for the sake of a davra muktza, just for the sake of the mace, would not be allowed. That's how the Mordechai suggests. The Rabbi Kiveger in the Gilyan Hashas over here asks a very strong kasha. He says, wait a second, what about the mita itself? The mita itself, we already established, is not muktza. Why do I need another item that's not muktza in order to allow being metaltel? The mita itself should be enough. So the Rashash suggests that we're going to have a sugya later on, that if a person carries a live person out on a mita, it's not a violation of carrying on Shabbos, because you're putter for carrying a person, because there's a principle called hachai no seyas atzmo. The person is considered to be independently carrying himself. What about the mita that he's on? Shouldn't you be chayav for carrying that out for hotza'a of the mita? Nah, the mita is tafel to the person. So says the Rashash, l'chora, the same is true over here, that the mita is considered to be tafel to the person, and therefore we cannot count the mita as something that is the non-muksa item. So says the Gemara, what is this machlokas? So again, we have this machlokas, what the best way to move the mace is. Is it by being metaltalim from one mita to the other, or is it by putting a kikarotinok on him? So hecha di'ika kikarotinok liyam lo pligi d'shari. When there is a kikarotinok, then everyone agrees that it's going to be mutter. Ki pligi d'lesle. The whole machlokas is only when there is no kikarotinok. Mar sovar tiltal minatzad shmei tiltal, umar sovar lo shmei tiltal. That very simply, if there is a kikarotinok, that's the best way to move the mace. But the Rav holds that tiltu min atzad kila achar yad, to be metaltel not directly but using something else to move the muktza item, is still considered moving a muktza item, and therefore he insists on using a kikarotinok. But if you don't have a kikarotinok, you're out of luck. There's no way to move the mace. Whereas Shmuel holds, tiltal min atzad is not called tiltal. It's not a violation of moving muktza. And therefore, if you could just move the mace, for even if you don't have a kikarotinok, it's still possible to move the mace by being metaltal from one bed to the other. So says Gnar U, so now apparently this machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, is a broader machlokas about tiltal min atzad. So lema ketanoi. Maybe that, in fact, is a machlokes tanaim, whether tiltal min atzad is considered to be a violation of tiltal muktza or not, because we have a braisa that tells us as follows: Ein matzilin es hameis mipnei adleika. That if there is a mace in a burning building, you're not allowed to be matzil the mace from the fire by moving the mace. Amar Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish shamati shematzilin es hameis mipnei adleika. That yes, you can. If there's a fire, if there's a building on fire and the mace is in there, you're allowed to save the mace by moving him out of the building. Well, hey chidami, idika kikarotinok mai taima de tanakama. If there's a kikarotinok, then of course you're allowed to move the mace. Everyone agrees with a kikarotinok, you're allowed to move the mace. Idaleka, and if there's no kikarotinok, there's no loaf of bread, there's no baby to put on the mace, then mai taima de Rabbi Divin Lakish. Why in the world would it be mutter to move the mace? Elalav betiltal min atzad pligi. It must be that they're having this machlokas whether tiltal min atzad is called tiltal. Meaning, demar savar tanakama holds tiltal min atzad shmei tiltal, and therefore you're not allowed to save the mace from burning by doing tiltal min atzad. And mar savar and Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish holds lo shmei tiltal. That's not called tiltal muktza, and therefore you are allowed to do tiltal min atzad. So you have a mace in a burning building. building and there is no kikar otinok available. That's the machlokes. Is tiltul min atzad an option to save the mace? So don't you see it's a machlokes tanaim? Says Gemara, lo, you don't have to say that that's what the machlokes tanaim is about. To kule alma tiltul min atzad, shmei tiltul. It could be that everybody agrees that tiltul min atzad is also called tiltul muktzah. And the truth is, if you don't have a kikar otinok, you really should not be allowed to move the mace out of the burning building. Aye, so what are they arguing about then? The Hainu time at Rabbi Yehuda Malkish. You know why Rabbi Yehuda Malkish holds you're allowed to move the mace out of the building? No one wants to see their relative cremated. They don't want to see their relative burn in the building. So ilo sharisle asilichbuye. We have to do a cheshbon. The person is going to violate an isser over here, and we have to come to terms with that because most people are not going to allow their relative to be burnt. So either we can allow him to do tiltul muktzah midrabanan, or he's going to put out the fire. And putting out the fire is going to be a malach of mechabe midaraisa. So that's why you're allowed to be metaltal the mace in that specific case. But stam to move a mace minacham letzel, even if you do tiltul minatzad, Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish would say is going to be aser. Am Rabbi Yehuda ben Shila, am Rav Asi, am Rabbi Yochanan, halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish b'mace. That you're allowed to save a mace from a dleika, from a burning building, because it's we are concerned that otherwise a person is going to extinguish the fire. Now Tosfos over here points out from the fact that the way we explain this brisa is that really everybody agrees tiltul min atzad shmei tiltul, and they're arguing about whether we make a gzeira about saving the mace. Says Tosfos, it sounds like the halacha must be tiltul min atzad shmei tiltul. Otherwise, we would not have established the brisa as the kule alma that everyone agrees that tiltul min atzad shmei tiltul, because there is another option. We could have said the kule alma tiltul min atzad lo shmei tiltul, and we're talking about where there is no kikar otinok, and you only have mita achas. You only have one mita, right? You don't have the option of being metaltel min atzad from one mita to the other mita, and then the machlokas is, can you carry the mace itself? Oh, so that's definitely a violation of tiltul muktzah, but maybe we'll allow it because of the burning building. We didn't say that. We said, no, it must be that tiltul min atzad was an option over here, that there is more than one mita, and everyone agrees, tiltul min atzad, shmei tiltul. So that seems to imply, says Tosfos, that is in fact the halacha, that tiltul min atzad is called tiltul as well. The problem is, this is not the only muktzah sugya in this mesechta. And later on, in Daf Kufchav Gimel, Rav Nachman paskins that tiltul min atzad, lo shmei tiltul, that tiltul min atzad is not considered a violation of tiltul muktzah. So Tosfos raises the problem that we have a stira. This is in the bottom Tosfos on the page. And Tosfos answers that it could be that there's two types of tiltul min atzad. When the tiltul min atzad is litzorech the muktzah item, like being metalta the mace, mimita the mita, then that's called tiltul. That's going to be a violation of tiltul muktzah. But when the tiltul min atzad is not litzorech the muktzah, you have something buried under sand. The sand is muktzah. So you want to get the thing out of the sand. So you take a stick and you try to push it out of the sand. So the sand is going to move because you're trying to take the fruit that you have buried in the sand out of the sand, but it's not litzorech the sand. You don't care about the sand. You're just trying to get the fruit out of the sand. That's not going to be called tiltul. That's not going to be a violation of an isur muktzah. That's how Tosfos is mechalik. It's also interesting, the nature of this gezeirah is interesting. Your house is on fire, and because we're afraid you're going to extinguish the fire in order to save your mace from burning, so we allow you to be metalta the mace. This is in fact the opposite of what we normally say, meaning the Gemara is going to say in Daf Kuf Yud Zayin that let's say you don't have a mace in the house, a more common case, you have a lot of money in the house, you have a lot of possessions in the house, and the house is burning. Are you allowed to go in and at least save your possessions? So over there the Gemara says that they make a gezeira that no, you're not allowed to, because you may get so caught up in saving your possessions that as you're running into the house, that's when you're going to extinguish the fire. So we make you stand aside and leave the fire burning and don't do anything. It's the exact opposite of what we're saying over here. Over here we're saying, if you have to stand aside and we don't let you go in to save your mace, then you're going to put out the fire. So we dafka allow you to go in to save the mace. Over there we say, no, if we have you running in and out trying to save things, that's when you're going to put out the fire. But if you stand aside, then we're not worried that you're going to put out the fire. So Tosus points out in Dibra Maskel Mitoch that you have to say that there's a difference between saving a mace, which is a much more emotional thing, and saving money. That a person could come to grips with the fact that he has to stand aside as his money burns. But he's never going to come to grips with the fact that he has to stand aside as his relative burns. That he's not going to be able to withstand the temptation of extinguishing the fire. So says Gemara Vayta. Now the Mishnah had said ein neos nemenu, that you're not allowed to get hana'a from the shemen that drips out of the ner, because it's mukta. So Tan Rabban Moser Shem Shemen Ever Shem Ka'ara. If you have extra oil in the ner or in the ka'ara after the fire goes out, Aser, you're not allowed to use that oil on Shabbos because it was mukta ben hashmasha. So mele, it's mukta for the entire Shabbos. But Rabbi Shimon Matir, Rabbi Shimon does not hold of this principle that just because something was mukta during Ben Hashmashos, it's mukta the entire Shabbos. So whatever oil is left over in your ner is not mukta. Once the candle is extinguished, you're allowed to benefit from that oil. The sheet of Rabbi Shimon is that anything that's aser betiltel beknisas Shabbos, if you knew on Erev Shabbos that at some point over Shabbos it would become available, then it does not become aser. Just because it was muktzah ben hashmashos, it will not remain muktzah the entire Shabbos. And over here by the ner, when Shabbos started, you know that eventually the ner is going to be extinguished. So you're waiting for it to be extinguished, so then you could use the shemen. So you're not muktzah daito mimenu l'kala Shabbos. You didn't put it out of your mind for use for the entire Shabbos. But the Gemara is going to say soon, and Tos points out, that if you have a ner that's going to stay lit, you have a yahrzeit candle, it's going to stay lit the entire Shabbos, it has enough fuel to keep it going the entire Shabbos, and then somehow it goes out, it extinguishes the middle of Shabbos, no, then it is going to be muktzah, even according to Rabbi Shimon, because you're maktzah daito mimenu for the entire Shabbos. Sfasemis raises a question, how does Rabbi Shimon know that a person is yoshivu mitzapeh when his ner is going to be extinguished, and then he'll be able to use the oil? Doesn't the way it normally works that the oil supply is depleted and that's when the ner goes out? So even if you don't have enough oil to last for the whole Shabbos, you still would have been maktzah midaito, because you would have assumed that the entire thing would have been depleted. So you have to say that we're talking about even when the oil supply is depleted, it's never totally depleted. There's always like that little bit of oil on the sides of the kli that the wick didn't quite reach to, and that's what we must be referring to. Now by Ner Chanukah, it's interesting. By Ner Chanukah, Ner Chanukah is a different kind of muktzah. The Ner Chanukah is huktzah l'mitzvaso. It's not like Shabbos muktzah. It's designated for a mitzvah, and that's why you're not allowed to benefit from it. But by Ner Chanukah, even though you know it's going to be extinguished, Rabbi Shimon is moda that it's also to get hana'ah from the shemen that's left over. That we had in the Braisa, that kava lel rishon mosif alav belel bezu madlikbo, kava belel ches osalam adur b'fnei atzmo, that if on the eighth night of Chanukah it gets extinguished early, so you make a separate madura. This Kordon Shulchan Aruch, you make a separate madura to light the oil because you're not allowed to use it for other things. You're not allowed to use the extra oil. Now, why would there be a difference between Ner Shabbos and Ner Chanukah? So Tosfos points out that Ner Shabbos, since you're nena from the light and you know that the ner is going to be extinguished, you're not Masiach Das from that oil. But by Ner Chanukah, since you're not nena from the light, you're dafka not allowed to be nena from the light, so you're Masiach Das from it, and even Rabbi Shimon is going to be moda that it's going to be aser. Okay, new Mishnah now. So now we move into the sugya of tiltul ner. So says the Mishnah, metaltul ner chadash avalo yashan, a ner that you never use. And again, a reminder, a ner is just the kli that holds the oil and the wick. So if you have a ner that was never used, it's brand new, you're allowed to be metaltul it. It's not yet gross. A normal ner that is made out of cheres, and after the first use, it becomes ma'us, it becomes disgusting. But if it's still chadash, you're allowed to be metaltul it. Avalo yashan, but not an old ner, because it's ma'us and you would never use it for anything else. Rabbi Shimon Omer, kol ha'ner is metaltel chutz min ha'ner adoli k'shabbos. Then no, you're allowed to move any ner, even a ner yashan, as long as it's not still currently lit. a lit candle right now is going to be muktzah, even according to Rabbi Shimon, because it's the different possible reasons, either because it's a basal davar asr, or because the flame itself is muktzah, so you're being metaltel the muktzah, or because shemi yechabe, as you move it, it might come to extinguish the flame. Nafkamina might be a flashlight, if it actually has not a modern flashlight. A modern flashlight is LED light. It doesn't have any esh. It doesn't have any ner to begin with. Pashtos is that a modern flashlight doesn't have any of these halachos, would have the status of a klisha malachto le'isr, which is a lower level muktzah. Klisha malachto le'isr, you're allowed to be metaltel l'tzorach kufo l'tzorach makomo. In fact, last time we were learning Shabbos Taf Mem Dalid, or right around this area, we were discussing these halachos l'maisa, because it was around the time of Hurricane Sandy, where many of us didn't have power, and even over Shabbos. So we were discussing, I don't know what it is about horrible things that happen in the world, and learning the beginning of Masechta Shabbos. Maybe it's Yetzer Hara trying to get us off of learning Daf Yomi, but we were discussing the possibility of leaving flashlights on over Shabbos and carrying them throughout the house. So Pashtus is, there is a machlokes haposkim about it, but Pashtus is, with our modern flashlights, that should be mutter, because the flashlight is a klisha malachta le'iser. Normally you're not allowed to move a klisha malachta le'iser l'tzorach gufo. If you need it, then you are allowed to move a klisha malachta le'iser. That is not this sugya. This sugya is when there's an actual flame. So that, Rabbi Shimon says, you're only not allowed to move a still lit candle. So says Gemara, we have a braisa. Tan rabban metaltel ner chadash avlo yashan divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, as he says as the Tanakhama said in the Mishnah, you're allowed to be metaltel a new ner, but not an old ner. Rabbi Meir Omer, kol aneros metaltelin. You're even allowed to move an old ner, because he does not hold of the concept of muktzah machmas mius, that just because something is disgusting, that does not give it the status of muktzah, except for a ner that was lit when Shabbos started. If a ner was lit when Shabbos started, even though now it's no longer lit, it became muktzah machmas iser, and he, Rav Meir, holds of the principle that once something is muktzah ben hashmashos, it remains muktzah for the rest of Shabbos. But Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon, who we quoted in our Mishnah, says in this Braisa, chutz min aner hadolik b'Shabbos. No, not a ner that was lit when Shabbos started, a ner that is still lit. That's what you're not allowed to move. Kavsa, but as soon as it gets extinguished, mutal taltala, then you're going to be allowed to be metaltalit. Aval kosu ka'ara va'ashashis lo yaziza mimakomam. And then we add this line, but if you have a large glass cup, or a plate, or something else that's holding oil and a wick, and that has something lit in it, that you're not allowed to move at all. So we're going to have to discuss why that's true, meaning if it's already extinguished, why wouldn't you be allowed to move it? Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Omer, and then Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon adds, and this is strange, what Pnei Yeshua points out, it's strange that we add Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon into this braisa, because what he's about to talk about has nothing to do with the muktzah status of a ner. It has to do with getting hana'ah from the oil that was in the ner, which is what we discussed before. That was the last sugya. This is just sort of confuses us by throwing this into our sugya, because we're discussing now the muktzah status of the ner itself. So anyway, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Omer, mistapik min haner akaveh. You're allowed to benefit from the oil that's in a ner that has been extinguished, because since it's extinguishing, that is the way Rashi understands it, not that has been extinguished, but that is clearly on its way to being extinguished. Normally, you're not allowed to take oil out of an air, because we assume you're causing it to extinguish sooner. But if you see that it's on its last few seconds and it's about to be extinguished anyway, so then you can take oil out of the ner, because it's not going to cause it to become extinguished any quicker. And if there's oil that dripped out of the ner, you're allowed to get anah from that, even if the ner is dolik, even if the ner is still lit strongly, because that oil is no longer feeding that ner, and therefore you're allowed to benefit from that oil. Even though Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon didn't seem to be on point or on topic in the Braisa, Abaye makes a comment about Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, in that Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon is the son of the holy Tana Rabbi Shimon. So he holds like his father when it comes to one din, and he disagrees with his father when it comes to another din. So Abaye explains, Haver l'kavua b'chada d'lesle muktza. He holds like his father when it comes to one din, in that he doesn't hold that something that was aser bin hashmashos becomes aser for the entire Shabbos, and therefore he does not aser being metaltal the ner that was lit when Shabbos started. But upalgalei b'chada dilu avua savar kavi in lo kavalo. But he disagrees with his father because his father holds that only Rabbi Shimon holds that only once it's extinguished you're allowed to get benefit from the oil that's in it. But if it's not yet extinguished, you're not allowed to get benefit from the oil. V'ihu b'rablazer Rabbi Shimon savar ava gav delo kava, that even though it's not yet extinguished but it's on its way to being extinguished, then you're still allowed to get enough from the oil. Good, that's the discussion of Rablazer Rabbi Shimon. Now let's go back, says the Gemara, to the main topic of our brisa. Again, the brisa was about, are you allowed to be metaltel a ner? So we had three shitos in the brisa. Rabbi Yehuda said, only if it's never been used. Once it's been used, it's muktzah machmas mios, you're not allowed to be metaltel it. Rabbi Meir said, nah, I'm not worried about muktzah machmas mios, but any candle that was lit when Shabbos started, that was lit at Bein HaShemashos, you're not allowed to be metaltel. And Rabbi Shimon said, no, you're just not allowed to be metaltel a ner, most mekel, you're just not allowed to be metaltel a ner that is still lit. And then the Brisa threw in one more line, but it's unclear who said this line. Aval kos uka'ara va'ashashis lo yaziza mimekomam. That if you have like a larger kli that's holding oil, then you're not allowed to be metaltel it at all. So the Gemara asks, wait a second, maishna hani, why should these be any different than a regular ner? Rabbi Shimon allows you to move a regular ner, why wouldn't he allow you to move a kos and ashashis ka'ara? So Amarula Seifa Hasan Rabbi Yehuda. It must be that line of the Brisa is following Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, who does not allow you to move a ner as long as it was a ner yashan, it was a ner that was used once, won't allow you to use any other kli that was used once to hold oil and a wick. So says Gemara, but that can't be that line is said by Rabbi Yehuda because Maskev Lamarzutra Yachi My Aval. It sounds like we're drawing some sort of contrast. We're saying, oh, while one halacha is true, but you know what you can't do? You can't do the ka'ara, the ashashis, the kos. Well, wait a second. The kos, the ka'ara, and the ashashis, according to Rabbi Yehuda, would fit seamlessly. It wouldn't be aval. We wouldn't draw a contrast. We would say, oh, just like in Alevi Metaltel and Neri Yashan, also a kos, ka'ara, and ashashis. The word aval indicates that it cannot be assuming like Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, that there's some contrast between a ner on the one hand, which you're not allowed to move, which you are allowed to move rather, and a kos ka'ara and ashashis, which you're not allowed to move. Ella amar mazutra liolam Rabbi Shimon. Really, the line about kos ka'ara and ashashis is Rabbi Shimon. Why does Rabbi Shimon not allow moving it? V'chi kashari Rabbi Shimon de bener zuta didaitei lavei. Aval hani de nefishi lo. The difference between a ner on the one hand and the kos ka'ara and the ashashis on the other hand is that a ner is very small. And Rabbi Shimon's whole svara is that you were not maktzim midaita when Shabbos started from using this oil, because you figured that at some point over Shabbos the fire would become extinguished and you'd have access to that oil. But a larger kli, a yahrzeit candle, that's meant to stay lit throughout the entire Shabbos, so that you're maktzim midaita at the very beginning. So and kos, ka'ara, and ashashis are just examples of yahrzeit candles. They're just examples of larger kelim. So the Gemara asks, but wait a second, Vatanya, Moshe Hashem Shebiner, Visheba Ka'ara, Aser, Rabbi Shimon Matir, that apparently Rabbi Shimon allows even using the extra oil that's in a Ka'ara. So it sounds like a Ka'ara is not this large kli that burns for 24 hours like a yahrzeit candle. So says Gemara, well, there are different size ka'aras. You know, you have serving plates, you have dinner plates, and you have dessert plates. So, you know, it depends how big the plate is that's holding the oil. Hasam ka'ara dum yadiner. Hach, a ka'ara dum yadikos. If the ka'ara is small, it's a tea saucer or whatever, teacups or whatever you call those things. So if it's very small and doesn't hold that much shemen, so it's going to go out within 24 hours, so then you're not maktzadaito from the leftover oil. And therefore, the ka'ara would be like a ner. But if the ka'ara is much larger, it's like a kos, and it's going to stay lit. It's meant to stay lit for a much longer time. Then you do make it muktza from your mind. Okay, now the Gemara is going to discuss what if the ner is not made out of cheres at all, but it's made out of metal. So Amar Rabbi Zeira pamot, which is a ner made out of metal, shedlika bo b'Shabbos, and it was lit on Shabbos l'divrei amatir, according to Rabbi Meir, who allows in our Mishnah, who allows moving an old candle that was not lit on this Shabbos Usser. You're not going to be allowed to move a metal candle because it was lit when this Shabbos began, and therefore becomes Muktzah Machmas Isser. And once it's Usser Ben Hashmashos, it's Usser the entirety of Shabbos. So because Rav Meir is one that said that Kala Neiros Metaltlin Chutz Minaner Shedliku Bab Shabbos Divrei Oser. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, who didn't allow even moving a Ner Chadash because of who didn't allow moving a Ner Yashan, even if it was not lit this Shabbos, but it was just gross, and there's such a thing of Muktzah Machmas Mius, so any Ner Yashan is going to be Aser according to Rabbi Yehuda, but Mutter, by a metal candle, it's going to be Mutter, by a metal Ner, it's going to be Mutter, because Rabbi Yehuda only didn't allow a Ner Yashan, because it's Mius, but metal cleans out very easily, it doesn't become Ma'us like Cheres does, and therefore it's going to be Mutter. So says Gemara, Lemeimer Rabbi Yehuda Muktzah Machmas Mius Islay Muktzah Machmas Isul Aslay. What, Rabbi Yehuda only holds of Muktzah Machmas Mius? He's not concerned about Muktzah Machmas Isur? What about the fact that this candle was lit when Bein HaShemashos happened, when Shabbos started? Shouldn't that make it Aser? V'atanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kala Neir Shal Metechas Metaltlin Chutz Min HaNer Shed Likubo B'Shabbos. That a Ner that was lit this Shabbos, you're not allowed to be Metaltel, because it's Muktzah Machmas Isur. So you see Beferish in the Braisa that Rabbi Yehuda holds of the concept of Muktzah Machmas Isur. So we have to alter our analysis of the metal ner. And really the way the comment should have gone is as follows. Amar Rabbi Zera, Pamot Sheidik Olav B'Shabbos, Divrei Hakol Aser. Both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir are going to say that it's Aser to move, because Muktzah Machmas Isur, and Rabbi Yehuda also holds of Muktzah Machmas Isur. Lo Edliku Alav, but if it was not lit this Shabbos, it had been lit prior to Shabbos, and as extinguished prior to Shabbos, but it had not been lit during the course of this Shabbos, Divrei Hakol Mutter. Everyone would agree that it's Mutter, because it's made out of metal, so it's not Ma'us, and even Rabbi Yehuda, who asers a Muktzah Machmas Mius, is going to say that there is no concept of Muktzah Machmas Mius by something like a Ner Shel Mateches, which is not disgusting. Period. That's the discussion of Ner Shel Mateches. Now we move on to the sugya that's going to take us not only through the rest of today's daf, but well into tomorrow's daf, through the entirety of tomorrow's daf, pretty much as well. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Mita sheyichdo lema'os. Let's say you have a mita that you designated dafka to be used for money, but you haven't actually used it for money yet. It's like a hazmana. You designated it for such use. Aser l'taltala. Since you designated to use it for money, it becomes aser as muktza. That money, that hazmana, you're maktza midaito, using that mita for anything else. And therefore, you're not allowed to move it even l'tzorach gufa or l'tzorach makoma. It's not just a klisha melachta l'iser. It has no other shimush. It's considered to be muktza itself. Rabbi Shimon, who has a, you know, we're going to use the term a lot throughout this Masechta, that Rabbi Shimon lesle muktza, that Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold of muktza. It does not mean Rabbi Shimon never heard of the concept of muktza and doesn't think there is a concept of muktza. It means he has a much more limited view of muktza, that he thinks that a lot of things that Rabbi Yehuda would consider muktza are not muktza, and things that Rabbi Yehuda considers very, very muktza, he holds are just a little bit muktza. So according to Rabbi Shimon, this mita would be muktza, but you're allowed to move it l'tzorach gufo or l'tzorach mekomo, because according to Rabbi Shimon, only muktzah machmas chesron kis, Tosfos points this out over here, only muktzah machmas chesron kis cannot be moved l'tzorach gufo or l'tzorach mekomo even, but muktzah like the mita that's miyuchad l'maos, you're allowed to move l'tzorach gufo l'tzorach mekomo. But bottom line is, what we just said is that if you have a mita, even if you never actually used it for money, Rav taught us the designation alone makes it muktzah. So Meisver Rav Nachman Bar Yehuda. So the Gemara is going to challenge Rav in two ways. The first one has to do with the Ner, and that's why the sugya is here. The second one is a detailed Mishnah Maseches Kelim. So first challenge, Meisver Rav Nachman Bar Yehuda. So Rav Nachman Bar Yehuda challenges Rav that the Tanakama in our Mishnah, who was Rabbi Yehuda, as we saw in the Brisa, says Metaltel Ner Chadash Avalo Yashan, that in Ner Chadash you're allowed to be Metaltel. Well, wait a second. What is in Ner Chadash? In Ner Chadash is something that hasn't yet been used, but has been designated for a muksa purpose, exactly like a mita sheyichta lemaos. And yet, in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says that you're allowed to be metaltel in ner chadash. So ma ner de lahachi avida, a ner is made only for that purpose. There's nothing else they make a ner for other than to light it. And still, kilo hidluk bashari l'tutula, if they haven't yet lit it, you're allowed to be metaltel mita de lav lahachi avida l'kolshkein. A mita that's not even made for that purpose, it could be used for any sort of purpose. It doesn't have to be made for anachas ma'os, so all the more so it should not become usher with hazmana alone, just by designating it for money. So says the Gemara, you're right, Eli Itmar, Halchi Itmar. You know what, we have to change Rav's statement. That Ram Rav Yidom Rav, mita shiyicha dal ma'os, hi niyach aleha ma'os, asa letaltala. That once it was used once, ever, even on a weekday, for money, then you're not allowed to be metaltel on Shabbos, because once you designated it and used it for use of money, so then it's considered to be designated for only that purpose, and it's going to be aser betiltel. But lo iniach aleha ma'os, but just being miyachid, just designating it for that purpose, mutl taltel, does not make it muktzah, it's still going to be mutter to move it. So lo yichta lemaos, yesh aleha ma'os, but we continue, if you were never even miyachid it for money, you have a mita, and you could use it for anything. You never declared, oh, this mita is going to be my money mita. You never said anything about it. So then it depends. Yesh aleha ma'os, if it has money on it on Shabbos, then asa l'taltala. Then you're not allowed to be metaltala, because then it's a basis l'davara asr. So you're not allowed to be metaltala. Ein aleha ma'os, if it doesn't have any money now on Shabbos, even if it had money before Shabbos on it, muta l'taltala. Then you're allowed to be metaltala, because putting money on the mita without being miyachid it does not make the mita muktza. So Rav says, and that which I told you, that if it doesn't have money on it now, even though it had money on it on a weekday, it doesn't become muktza. That only works if the money was not there during Ben HaShemashos. But if the money was still on the mita during Ben HaShemashos, then it's going to become muktzah for the entirety of the day. The idea that if it has money, that a mita that's not miyuchad for money, but it has money on it right now on Shabbos is muktzah, is the concept of a basis l'davar aser. That's what Rashi points out. That becomes a basis l'davar aser, because it becomes tafel to the muktzah. So the basis itself, the mita itself, becomes like has the halachic status of the money itself. Now you have to say that the money that was put on the mita over Shabbos was put there midas, that it didn't just fall there, because then it wouldn't have a din of a basis. It had to have been put there purposely, because something that was put there shalolidas would never become a basis. So Tosas raises the following very strong kasha. Tosas says, wait a second, then how can you have money that was placed on the mita on Shabbos ladas? Right? How could that ever happen? If he already said we're not talking about money that was there ben hashmashos. So if it wasn't there ben hashmashos, it means it was placed there sometime during Shabbos, and it becomes a basis. But it only becomes a basis if it was placed there intentionally during Shabbos. So it can't be that it was placed there on Shabbos, because then even if the money's not there anymore, it would be a bas l'davar aser. So it has to be that it was placed there on purpose. So the Tos says that it must be that a nachri or a katan put it there l'das the Yisrael, that a non-Jew put the money there and the Yisrael was okay with that. So that's considered to be l'das. It's quite a nukimta, but we have no choice but to make such a nukimta. Otherwise, we can't make any sense of it. Okay, now the Gemara is going to challenge Rav from a Mishnah Maseches Kelim. Again, Rav is the one that spoke about a mita miyuchedes lemaos. So we're going to challenge Rav from a Mishnah Maseches Kelim. The Mishnah Maseches Kelim talks about a large wagon that has wheels on the side of it. Normally, when you're dealing with very large kelim, if the kli is large enough that it could hold, that it could theoretically hold 40 sa'a of water, which is the amount of water that makes for a kasher or a mikveh, but if it's large enough that it could hold that amount of water, that kli is a kli ababamida, it's not makabel tuma, even if tuma touches it, even if it's in the same room as a dead body, even if it travels over a dead body, it does not become tameh. But if it's smaller than that, then it's makabel tuma like any other kelim. How do we know that? That's a halacha that we derive from yesterday's parsha, from a pasuk, the pasuk of Kliyetz being mekabel tuma only if it's not machzik 40 sah of mashkin, is derived from the fact that Kliyetz is hukash l'sak. The pasuk says mikol Kliyetz o beged o ar o sak, to tell us that it's only mekabel tuma if it's like a sak, meaning if it's like a bag that's meant to be carried around. But if it's so big that it's impractical to ever carry it with its content when it's full, then it's not mekabel tuma at all. So that's the din that we're dealing with over here. Now the Mishnah explains that there's a machlokes beishamai beisilal. How do you measure this 40 sa'a? So beishamai holds that, what do you mean, how do you measure if it rolled 40 sa'a? See if it rolled 40 sa'a. Look at the inside, the base kibble, and see if that base kibble is large enough to hold 40 sa'a. If it's an amma by an amma, by 3 amos high, so then you know that it's large enough to hold 40 sa'a. But beishilal disagrees, and this is important because we pass like the beishilal, obviously. Beishilal disagrees, and beishilal says no. Mem sa'a is measured by water displacement of the entire kli, meaning even the thickness of the walls of the kli count toward the 40 sa'a. So it doesn't have to be that the kli itself can hold 40 sa'a. Even if you were to dip the kli in by water displacement, and 40 sa'a would come out, the volume of the entirety of the kli. So then the Mishnah discusses, okay, what about the wheels on the side of this wagon, right? What are the halachos? Are the wheels considered part of the wagon, or are they considered apart from the wagon? And that has four ramifications, the halacha, and we're going to go through all four right now. Number one is going to be, what if tumah touches just the wheels? Does the wagon become tameh, or just the wagon? Do the wheels become tameh? Number two, do the wheels get measured as part of that 40 sa also, or only the wagon gets measured as part of that 40 sa? According to Beisilo, that it's based on the volume. Number three, if the wagon is matzil me'olames, the wagon is large enough that it's baba mida, and therefore if it goes over a kever, whoever's on top of the wagon is not going to become tame. What if the item in the wagon is partially also over the wheel? Does the wheel protect the tuma also, or only the wagon itself protect the tuma? And the fourth thing is going to be what's nogea to us. If there's money on top of the wheel, are you allowed to move the wagon on Shabbos? Meaning, do we assume that the entire wagon becomes a bustle davar aser because the wheel is part of the wagon, or do we assume no, the wheel is apart from the wagon? So Amar Ula Masiv Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer asks from the Mishnah in the 18th parak of Kelim that Muchni Shalab is Manchi Nishmetes. If you have a wheel that is removable from the wagon, so let's go through all four halachas one by one. Number one, Ein Chiburla. It's not considered to be part of the wagon as far as Tuma that touches it. If Tuma touches the wheel, the wagon does not become Tameh. If Tuma touches the wagon, the wheel does not become Tameh. Number two, Ve'einim Dedesima. When you're measuring the 40 sa'a of the wagon, you do not take the volume of the wheels into account. Only the volume of the wagon gets taken into account. Number three, Ve'ein Matzelesima Ba'ol Ameis. That if you're in a Beis HaKvaros, and the Tuma does not extend to the items that are inside the wagon, because it's such a giant kli, it could hold more than 40 sa'a, it's a giant kli, but part of that kli is hovering over the wheel of the wagon, so the wheel is not going to be matzilit from the Olam Eis. The wheel is not the kli ababamida, it's only the wagon that's a kli ababamida. This is all the way Rashi understands that line. We're going to say, well, if we have a chance to discuss, we'll see that the other Rishonim disagree. And four, the ingornos of Shabbos bisman sheyesh le'amos. You're not, if there's money on the wheel, you're not allowed to move the entire wagon, because the wheel becomes a basis to the money that is muktzah. So says Gemara ha'ena lehamos, but it sounds like if there's no money on it right now, sharia, then you're allowed to be metaltel af al gav tavu lebein hashmashos, even though there was money on it during bein hashmashos. Isn't that a kasha to Rav, who says that you're not allowed to move a mita that had money on it during Bein HaShemashos, even though right now there's no money on it? The diuk over here is, from the very last line of this whole fancy mission about the wagon, the diuk over here is that when the money is still on it, you're not allowed to move it. But as soon as the money's off it, you're allowed to move it. That we don't say that just because it was muktzah Bein HaShemashos, it's muktzah for the entire day. So says Gemara, yeah, hahi, Rabbi Shimon, that Mishnah in Maseches Kelim is going going like in as far as Hilchus Muktzah is concerned, is following the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. De lesle Muktzah v'rav k'Rabbi Yehuda Svirlei, meaning again, Rabbi Shimon lesle Muktzah means he doesn't hold of the principle that just because something was Muktzah ben Hashmashos remains Muktzah for the entire Shabbos. But Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Now this, while the focus of bringing this Mishnah was about the fourth halacha in the Mishnah, the third halacha in the Mishnah is very much nogeya lemaisa as well. Tosos and Rov Rishonim have a very different understanding than Rashi. They assume that an agala, that a wagon that's made for men and women to ride on, is always going to be Mekabel Tumah, no matter how big it is. Because it's Mekabel Tumah's medrash. It's meant for people to be sitting on, and therefore it's always going to be Mekabel Tumah, and therefore it's never going to be Matzil Ba'ol HaMeis. And that's very important, because there's a discussion about highways that are built over cemeteries, or roads that are built over cemeteries in Eretz Yisrael, whether a Kohen is allowed to travel in a car on such roads. The Kvish Derech Yericho that goes over Harazesim, or roads that in Tveria that are over cemeteries and other places. So is that going to save you? Is being in the car going to save the Kohen from Tumas? So the Chaznish writes in Yerodea Simon Reish Yod Aleph that the Din Tumas Medrash in a car is Tully in this Machlokas, Rashi and Tosos. Rashi holds that it's a Kli Abba, it's not Tameh Tumas Medrash, because it's not made to lean on, it's made to travel with. It's not meant, you don't use it like a couch, you use it when you want to go somewhere. So it's not Tameh Tumas Medrash. But Tosla says, no, that when you go somewhere, you sit in your car, and therefore it is Tameh Tumas Medrash. So it's going to be totally dependent on that that halacha. And therefore, he says, since most Rishonim say like Rashi, that Lechara we could be Mekel. But then says the Chazanish, but not La'alacha. La'alacha, it's not Chotzis B'fnei Atuma, because the whole thing is, the whole discussion of the Shida is only according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that an Ohel Zoruk is Shmei Ohel. But we hold that a moving Ohel is Lav Shmei Ohel. So even if it has the characteristics and the qualifications of an Ohel, but it's an Ohel Zoruk, and therefore it's not going to work anyway. Plus, Chaznish points out, cars are made out of metal, and this whole thing only works for wood. So it's not going to, unless you have a wooden car, it's not going to help you. Plus, Rav Shlomo Zalman points out that the discussion that a wagon, the possibility that Rashi holds that a wagon is not called Mekabel Tumas Medrash, that's because their wagons didn't have, you know, leather seats and, you know, heated, whatever. You know, our cars are clearly meant for sitting. They're made to make the seating, the sitting in it very comfortable. And that's why the poskim, Rav Shlomo Zalman writes in Milcha Shlomo, we have to be machmir about such things. Okay, Bez Hashem, we'll pick up from there tomorrow with the top of Daf Hey, Ahmed Aleph. Everyone should have a great day.